The local people have got to believe that you are coming in for the long term and you really mean it. Be absolutely exceptional at everything you do.
Welcome to New Construction Strategies with Ted Garrison.
Welcome to the program, Roger.
You know, most executives understand that for their company to reach its full potential, it needs a sound business strategy. Combine this with the fact and the realization that the construction industry is becoming more and more global. I thought it'd be a valuable idea to understand how going global can impact the company's strategy. To address these issues today, our guest is the perfect choice. Roger Harp is the former CEO of an international corporation and has been advising CEOs around the world on business growth issues. With all that said, Roger, what do you see as the biggest strategic mistake companies make when they go international?
Well, you know what the biggest one, Ted, is? The lack of a long-term plan. You know, going international isn't something you can just do when you're short of work at home. You need to have a long-term plan. The second thing that I see is that companies don't do their homework. They don't really focus and do their homework on the market they're wanting to go into. And I guess the final thing is that goes along with that is taking local advice. Because you cannot assume you can operate in exactly the same way overseas as you do at home.
You know, an article you wrote stated the status quo is not an option. Would you care to explain what you mean?
Yeah. I guess everything's changed for business over the last few years. And what I see is, as I travel around the world, I see big companies, small companies, construction companies and others. Those organizations that are really motoring now are the ones that have got back to the basics of business. You know, and for me, there are four basics of business. Number one, you've got to be exceptional at what you do. It's no good just being good at what you do or even outstanding at what you do. You've got to be exceptional. And certainly, if you're even thinking about going international, you've definitely got to be exceptional at what you do. The second thing is, it's got to be a great place to work in your organization. People have a choice these days, and you need your employees enthusing about your business, and that comes across, particularly, again, internationally. It's all about relationships. The third is prospecting. I can count any number of companies, big and small, I've come across where they've said to me, you know, we were so busy, we forgot to prospect. We forgot to continually look for new business. And these days, you just simply can't afford not to do that. And the last one, of course, is to focus on the bottom line. The very easiest thing to be in business, and particularly in the construction business, is to be a busy fool. And that's no good for anyone. You've got to focus on that bottom line.
You know, from your experience, what is the fact that it separates great contractors from good contractors? You said we got to be exceptional. What does that mean?
What I see is a combination of two things. One is flexibility. Being seen, at least, giving the perception of really giving the customer what he wants, getting into those that the customer's shoes and being flexible. But that's got to be combined with a really hard-edged commercial astuteness. And it's getting the balance between those things, as well as I've already said, really planning for the longer term, so that whatever you're doing, it's part of a longer-term strategy.
If you were to sit down with a CEO that was thinking of expanding internationally, what would you tell him?
Well, I guess the first thing is why. Why do you want to do it? What's it all about? And assuming that he can really answer that question succinctly, the next question I would ask would be, okay, 5 years' time, I sit down with you then, tell me what your company looks like in 5 years' time. How do you want it to look? What proportion of your business do you want to be international? And then having asked that, it's really a question of doing that homework again. You know, are you set up to go international? Are metric units as easy for you to handle as imperial units? Something as basic as that. Do you really understand international needs? And have you got a focus? Is there one market you particularly want to go after and develop? And you've got to be very good at listening. And I guess what goes with that is you've got to be humble. If you're going into one of those overseas markets, you really need to go in with your ears wide open and do an awful lot of homework before you go.
You know, one of the challenges, you know, companies, by their very nature, they're like people. They create a culture, just like a person has a personality. So how does that impact the company when it goes into a different country that may have a different culture? How do you deal with that?
I guess one of the first things I would say is, let's assume you're targeting a particular region. Let's say, for example, you're targeting the Middle East. Then you need to visit there. You need to go along there and you need to talk to local people. Now, I mean, just for an example, I was in Dubai earlier this year. I was speaking to the American business group there, about 200 or 300 US guys who work in Dubai. Go and talk to them, listen to them, find out their advice. Talk to local people, find out their advice in your industry so that you really are able to go in there with an edge where you really understand their needs and you're able to develop your culture such that it really is a combination of all the best parts from the US and the best parts that are seen locally as being something they find highly attractive and value.
You know, one of the bits of advice I have, and I see how you respond, you know, I've often told if you're like a small or medium-sized company, you might want to consider having a partner when you go into a foreign country so they understand the culture. Or if you're a large company, that you need to hire some key people for your company in that location. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Ed. I think, indeed, in some countries, you have to have a local partner. But even if you don't, I think it's really advisable because, you know, I've spent my life trying to get into the business culture of different countries. I found it fascinating. And it really is very, very different. You know, if you're doing business in Japan, for example, you do not do things directly. Things are always indirect, and you need to handle that. You know, just to give you an example, I can remember I had a company in Japan, and we'd been negotiating a big contract. And one day, my local guy, Japanese guy, said to me, he said, oh, this particular potential client would like a breakfast meeting tomorrow morning. And I said, oh, you know, I was jet lagged or whatever it might be. And I just responded badly and said, look, no, I really don't want a breakfast meeting tomorrow. And fortunately, this guy said to me, he said, look, in Japan, if the client asks for a breakfast meeting, that means you've got the contract. So, you know, we had the breakfast meeting, we got the contract. You need to understand all these things. You need to understand in Malaysia, for example, you must never wear the color lemon because only royalty are allowed to wear the color lemon. And there's lots of other things. But some of it isn't in the book. Some of it is about your industry and the things you do and don't do in your industry. So a local partner would be very valuable. And as you say, if you're a larger corporation, to employ some really seasoned locals, either on a consultancy basis or directly on the payroll, has got to be a really good idea.
You know, one of the challenges for U.S. companies, for example, you know, our market is usually pretty large in most industries. And so most companies grow up, especially if they haven't got to the international level kind of before, they've gotten used to our market. So what advice would you give to that CEO when he's going to change? A lot of these guys are almost privately held companies. Now they're going to have to adjust to a foreign environment. How's that going to impact their business?
You know, I don't think it makes a difference whether you're privately held or not. It's a question of just opening up your horizon. And really, what I've said already, I think, is you've got to do a lot of listening. You've got to recognize that there are different ways of operating in different parts of the world. And you cannot necessarily translate one from the other. On the other hand, of course, because you're strong in your local marketplace, you've got an expertise that you can bring. And I guess, you know, that's, again, one of the pieces of homework you need to do if you haven't done it already, is to really absolutely understand your core competencies. What is it that makes you different from everyone else on an international stage, not just on a local stage or national US stage? What is it that really makes you different? And focus on those. And if you can get that combination of those core competencies of yours together with the local flexibility and the local recognition, I think that's a winning combination.
I think that's some great advice. You know, unfortunately, we see companies here, you know, they're comfortable with their environment. They don't bother to have a strategic plan. They don't really try to figure out what differentiates themselves. They just plod along. But now when they're going into this new market, they really need to do those things. So I think that's some great advice.
In my 25-odd years of working around the world and running business around the world, I have come across a good number of, I have to say, U.S. companies who get into the export market, get into the international market when things are tough at home. And the moment things aren't tough at home, they stop doing it. And unfortunately, there is a bit of a reputation like that. So you've got to get over that hurdle to start off with. The local people have got to believe that you are coming in for the long term and you really mean it. Somewhere like, particularly in the Far East, Singapore, Malaysia, you know, they'll nod and they'll smile as you say that you're making the commitment. Until they see you making the commitment, they simply won't believe it.
Sounds good. Roger, this has been very interesting. However, we're almost out of time. So what final thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners?
Plan for the long term. That's the first thing. Plan for the long term. You know, if you're going to go international, how do you want your business to look in 5 years? Be absolutely exceptional at everything you do. You know, just don't accept the second best in anything, because if you do that at home, you certainly can't get away with it overseas. Challenge the paradigms of your industry. Make sure you understand your core competencies. And the final one, of course, is take all the local advice you can. If you can have a local partner, that's great. If you can have local advice, that's great. Absorb and soak up all that local advice before you really go into that overseas market.
Roger, I want to thank you for providing some great insights in doing business internationally. I'm sure our listeners will find it very useful. Thanks, Roger.
This program is produced by Jack Street Media as part of the Affiliate Nanocasting Network. Thanks for listening.